What's going on, guys? This is Tyler Babin. Welcome to a new episode of Tuesday Morning Coffee. This week on the podcast, I sat down with Gabriel DeSanti, who is a really talented photographer and filmmaker here in New York City. Gabe and I have known each other for a while. We've interacted at events and things like that. We're actually sharing the stage together this March in Dublin, but we haven't had a proper opportunity to like sit down and chat before. So this whole conversation is exactly that. It's us kind of getting to know each other and getting familiar with each other's backstories. But that being said, there's tons of cool, like fun stories that are tucked into this episode. We talked about Gabe's experience working as a videographer for some other talented creators like Brett Conti and Dan Mace, and even a story of how he ended up getting roofied while traveling through Thailand. I'll leave it at that for this one. We can jump straight into the conversation. This is Tuesday Morning Coffee with Gabriel DeSanti. Gabriel DeSanti.
What's going on, Babin?
Welcome to Tuesday Morning Coffee. I'm stoked to have you here.
Thank you.
In New York, no less, both of our homes now that you actually live here. Yeah. How long has it been since you're like...
We're going on 4 months.
How's that been? I mean, you've spent a lot of time here, but now it's like... Yeah. I feel like it's a lot different when you like actually...
Like originally home for me was Connecticut, which was a 90-minute train ride. So I always like called the city home.
Yeah.
But now that I'm here and I get to wake up in a bed here every day, like... It's the best feeling ever.
That's sick. Do you like, and we'll actually go into proper stuff, but I just love talking like New York with people that are like in it, especially because like you live in like a busy part of Manhattan as well.
Yeah.
Do you like thrive off that energy? Like, is that the thing that like gets you going?
Yes. Like there, again, like where I'm from, such a drastic difference. I live in the middle of the woods. Like I have like a neighbor that's like a quarter mile away. You know what I mean? Like it's really different in the city.
Yeah.
And so for me, every time I came here, it was just like the energy is really what drives me. And it's like, there's no way to just like describe it. It's like, you feel it.
It is one of those things. Like I like the energy of New York, but I also get exhausted because I also came from like a very small town. It was quiet all the time. I kind of like want to get back to that. And so every time I leave the city though, I'm good for like 2 days and then I freak out. I'm like, I need noise around me.
Yeah, I know. I love like the noise, going to sleep to noise and like everything that is there in the city. I love.
Yeah. All right, we can actually talk about real work shit now.
Yes, let's go.
So I'm stoked to have you on. I've been following your work for a while. We've known about each other for a while, but this is the first time I feel like we're properly like chopping it up and getting to know each other. And so I wanted to leave this as like free flowing of a conversation as possible.
Cool.
But let the people know who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name's Gabriel DeSanti. I'm a photographer and videographer. I'm 22 years old, originally from Connecticut, and now I'm in New York City, living my dream. I do like a lot of travel photography and filmmaking, working with mainly YouTubers, but I do some like freelance work to pay the bills.
What was the thing that attracted you to cameras? I'm always sort of curious, like it's different for everyone, but what made you want to start sort of diving into this whole content thing?
This is great. This is like, I guess my first time publicly sharing like how I got into it. When I was 13, I started a YouTube channel making Call of Duty videos. Dude, like from 13.
Was that like Modern Warfare 2?
Black Ops was the first one.
Black Ops, yeah.
Black Ops 1.
Good old days.
Yeah, the good old days for sure. And I just remember like watching YouTube videos of people playing. And I was like, there's no reason I can't do that. So I remember saving up for like a capture card and just figuring out how to make YouTube videos. And so from like 13 to 16, I made Call of Duty videos. And it was like, it was consistent. Like I grew a channel to 10,000 subscribers, which like for a 13-year-old, like that's freaking cool.
Yeah.
You know?
You're like, I'm set.
And I loved it. I loved it. And I think what I loved the most, or what I eventually realized I loved the most, was making something on my own and then putting it out for the world to see.
Yeah.
And that's what I really liked. And eventually I like grew out of making Call of Duty videos. I needed to move on to the next thing. And I dabbled in like graphic design and animation and like other creative things in the creative field, but I never, it was never it. Like like Call of Duty videos were, you know, I wasn't feeling the love for it yet. And then in high school, I knew how to edit because I was editing all these YouTube videos.
Yeah.
And I like started making videos for my school in high school. Just on like, do you remember those vertical flip? They were called cameras, but they were vertical.
Yeah, yeah. Because they had like the USB that like popped out and you would like plug it directly into your computer. Yeah,
I remember that. And I think that's probably one of the first cameras that I filmed on.
Dude, that made me so nostalgic right now. Because my parents had a mini DV. Like my first camera was like actual tape.
Yeah.
And then whenever I wanted to edit it, I had to basically plug that camcorder into a computer with a capture card and let the footage play all the way through on the tape to like have a digital version.
Yeah.
And I was like, can't do this shit anymore, and got one of the flips, and it was like game changing.
It was so game changing. But that, yeah, to my, as much as I can remember, that's probably one of the first cameras I ever filmed on.
Yeah.
And it was just like filming events around my school. I remember like making tutorials for the teachers, like for like software and for like students to like learn new software. They would have me like record tutorials, and I would do class projects instead of like doing a PowerPoint presentation. I would do a whole video instead, mm-hmm. which was like my teachers thought was next level.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's like that's really how like I got into cameras. So it like evolved from like making videos to making videos with a camera.
Yeah.
And once I picked up the camera, it just felt right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it sounds first off super like similar because I was the same way. Like, I was a terrible, like, I didn't want to write or read. So anytime a book report came around, I was always volunteering. Like, I'll just make a video of it.
And yeah.
Teachers are like, I love the initiative, you know? And I'm like, I'm just trying to get out of shit I don't like to do. That's sick. So move me even further along the timeline, because obviously, you know, your work now is incredible, and it's like travel and landscape, and you're doing all kinds of really dope stuff. What was the draw to that? Was it just sort of the natural progression, or did you like make a decision as to what you wanted your like niche to be?
Sure. So I started making, like, 2016, I started making vlogs on YouTube, like felt very inspired by Casey.
Yeah.
And that was my first time like doing something for myself, where I like, okay, I made these videos for my school and stuff, but like, what would it feel like if I did something for myself again? And so I just tested it out. I did like 3 months of vlogging, and it was so
daily?
Fun.
Was it like,
I wanted to do daily, but it never ended up being daily. Right. It was like, you know, get a few days in a row, but then like miss one. Yeah. And then, but I was working full time and going to school full time and vlogging.
Yeah.
And I remember like staying up till 5 a.m. and then sleeping an hour and then going to work and like trying to do that every day. Yeah. It was like the most impossible thing. But I remember the moment when I was like, this is it. I was talking to my girlfriend, and she didn't necessarily like understand how it was a career. And it like hurt. I was like, this person that is like so close to me, like how can she not understand? And I remember just like leaving the house and going out in the street. It was like midnight, and I like sat in the middle of the street and just cried.
Sounds like a movie.
Dude, it must have been. Like, I just cried, and I called my best friend just like crying, and I was like, dude, like, I don't ever want to do anything else. I just want to make videos. And that's the most real moment I've ever had with myself.
Yeah.
And with anyone else, really, like, that was the moment when I knew, like, it's what I wanted to do.
Yeah. That's so sick. I love that. And it sucks because like you should always expect the people like closest to you to like know it, you know, and like understand. But it sounded really similar because like, I don't know what your like, how supportive your family was about it, but like consistently my family was always like, yo, making videos is a great hobby when you get back from your real job, you know? And it took a really, really long time to break loose of those those holds on me, you know, because I, you know, I believed it. Like I sort of went down that route of the system of like, let me just do exactly what everyone's telling me to do. Yeah. And it wasn't until I had that moment where I was like, you know what? It's fine if everyone doesn't like me. I'm going to be happy as shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's awesome.
Did you go to school for like any?
I like went to school for engineering.
Stuff? Okay.
But I didn't finish. I did like a year and a half.
Nice. You know, it's so funny. The last episode was also a guy who's an engineer
who really?
Like quit everything to go do content. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a big change. I mean,
I feel
that's
like
really going down the right route of like safe, stable, consistent.
Completely.
And
I mean,
shifting gears.
For me, like it was very set. Like,
yeah.
If I wanted to be an engineer, like I had the path. It was paved. Like I went to a technical high school. Mm-hmm. Do you have technical high schools?
Yeah.
Where you're from?
Yeah.
So like I learned a trade. So I learned computer aided drafting. I was like it's not a certificate program, but it's like you have 4 years of education in computer aided drafting. So like solid modeling, schematics, like all these like basic engineering things.
Yep.
And then right out of high school, got hired full time as a drafter.
Wow.
Worked there for 2 years.
What I vaguely understand what a drafter is, but
so
educate me.
It was for an electrical company.
Okay.
I was making like electrical schematics, line drawings of
electrical
diagrams and stuff, mm-hmm. and then 3D modeling like the enclosures that these electrical components were in. It was cool. But I wasn't like in love with it. I wasn't in love with going and sitting at a desk every day.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember like at 18 years old and having that job, I had my own office and I thought I was the man.
That's
crazy.
I was
like, yo, like I have my own office. I feel like the man right now.
Yeah. And like you're 22 now. So that's like really wasn't that long
ago. Not that long ago at all.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see where this shift happens.
I know. So my boss got a promotion.
Okay.
And I really loved my boss. But then I got a new boss, and everything just changed. It wasn't that like we moved locations and stuff like, and that it was like it was cool. I worked like closer to home at that point when he got a promotion. But then my new boss just like wasn't the nicest guy,
mm-hmm.
And I realized it started to affect my happiness.
Yeah,
and I just decided like at a certain point I never want to have a situation where it's out of my control affect my happiness. Like my boss got a promotion. Like I'm so happy for him, but now like I'm unhappy because of my new boss. Like how many times can that happen in a career? Like it can happen a bunch of times. And I didn't want that to control how happy I was in my life. And so I started like planning my exit strategy, I guess. And that's probably like a year into working there. So I still worked there for like another year.
Yeah.
And I just like, I was, like I said, I was vlogging and I was like, okay, like we're just going to see where this goes. And one day the stars just aligned. Okay. So I'm vlogging, I'm working, I'm going to school, I'm doing all this. I decide to go to my favorite Mexican restaurant for lunch one day. Which is like kind of risky because it's like too far. So I was going to be gone for too long.
Uh-huh.
Like my lunch break was like a half hour. I was going to be gone for like an hour.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I'm trying to get a burrito. Right.
That's going to be the title of this podcast.
I'm trying to get a burrito. And no, but this changed everything. This guy, I'm in line. This guy like taps me on the shoulder. He's like, hey man, like, sorry if this is weird, but are you Gabriel DeSanti? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And long story short, this guy worked at a local bank in my area, and he saw me on YouTube. And I only had like less than 500 subscribers.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't doing anything like amazing, but he saw me in this one video, and he's like, I was actually drafting an email to send to you because we want like to see if you can help us make some videos for our bank.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, that's crazy. Like, so cool. And so I started like freelancing for this bank on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I did like three or four videos for them. And then I was like, yo, I'm going to do this full time. And so I just like planned it out, and I left my job, and then was like, "Yo, I'm just gonna go for it."
Yeah,
just gonna go for it.
It's super. I was, as you were telling that story, and you were like explaining your leaving thing, I was gonna ask you like, "Oh, do you consider like, are you like scared of taking risks or anything? Because like leaving the safe thing." But when like the dude taps you on the shoulder, like that's like the universe saying shit yeah. to you. Oh man,
so, I wasn't scared. Yeah. I wasn't scared to take the leap. I think I've always been the person to like. I'll regret it if I don't mm-hmm. take it.
Yeah.
And I'd rather take the risk than regret later on.
For sure. That's like, and I know we're going to talk about this later, but like the whole like me leaving Vayner thing, like people consistently, I still am kind of like daily get the DM and they're like, do you regret leaving? Will you go back? Like what's going on? I was like, no.
Awesome.
Like I had to leave. Like it was a step of life. You know what yep. I mean?
Sorry.
No, is Brett Conti FaceTiming you right now?
Brett Conti's FaceTiming. You want to go for the answer?
He was so thrown.
We're trying to record a podcast
we're trying to do a
right
podcast
now, Brett.
Here, Brett. Okay, we'll do.
All right. Bye, Brett.
Dedicated to the content, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'm sorry for that.
All good. So, yeah, I mean, I think, like, the reason I am super okay with risk, and I think you probably are too, is, like, there's so many options. Like, if everything goes wrong, you can still just, like, go get another drafting job.
Yeah.
Like, if, like, shit really falls apart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think so many people are, like, locked into this idea of if one thing fails, like, life is over.
Yeah. And like, we're so young. So yeah. I really feel like the bigger risk is not taking the risk at all. I really feel strongly about that.
Yeah. No, that's a perfect way to put it. So, all right, you're making videos at a bank.
Yeah.
What kind of bank videos are you making?
They wanted like, they were trying to attract a younger audience.
Okay.
And so I was making like Apple Pay videos, like, literally going to Staples
yeah.
and like filming myself picking something out with like a little bit of a story arc.
Yeah.
You know, and then like mobile deposit, how to use online banking. How I remember I did an online banking video about like how fast it was yeah. to do online banking. So I set up a desk on a high school track
mm-hmm.
and I had my friend run around the track with a GoPro on.
Yeah.
And then I sat at a desk and like did online banking things
yeah.
to show people how fast it was.
Yeah.
Just like to compare the two. And it was like such a funny idea.
So funny,
like
actually.
But like to do this for a bank and yeah. they like have it on their YouTube channel is like quite funny.
That's pretty good.
And so then ultimately I when I was ready to like leave my job, because I was like making these videos while I was freelancing for the bank.
Yeah.
When I was ready to leave my job, I was like, what do I have to do to like what is my dream right now? And I wanted to make videos, but I also had never really traveled. And so my exit strategy was I was just going to leave and go to Europe for a month.
Yeah.
And I remember laying in bed and thinking of this idea to pitch to the bank. I was just going to tell the bank that I was going to Europe. And that I should make a video while I was there.
Yeah.
Just to like yeah. see what happens. I was already sure. going to Europe, right?
Yeah.
And I pitched this idea because they're a small local bank in Connecticut. And so I pitched them an idea that just because they're a small local bank doesn't mean people can't go anywhere with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let me just use your debit card all over Europe and make a video about it. And yeah. And you guys can pay me.
Yeah.
Like, and they went for it.
That's
they went for it.
That's
and
so good.
I quit my job the next day. I was on a flight to Europe making this video for the bank. And it was like the most fun. It was the most fun. Yeah.
That's so dope. I mean, like take that as a lesson to anyone who doesn't understand how to like travel and wants to travel.
Yeah.
I think the whole like blue ass water movement right now of like fancy stuff, like there's ways to make it all happen.
Yeah.
So that was it. Just like, what happens when you get to Europe? Did you end up just like staying in Europe forever?
I was in Europe for 5 weeks.
Okay.
And it was amazing. I traveled all over Europe on the Eurorail pass. Like mm-hmm. just took a train everywhere. And I loved it. And I made this video the bank liked it, and it was cool. It was like a great step.
Yeah.
And then I came home, and it's like as soon as you come home from a trip like that, it was like my first big trip.
Yeah.
I didn't have a job. I basically spent all my money in Europe, and it was like, whoa, like, what do you do here? Yeah. Just like you were saying, like, I could always go back and, like, yeah. get a drafting job. I could have gone back there, but it's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I just, like, I was just like, I'm going to go for it. Like, I just have to go for it. And what do I have to do in order to travel again? Mm-hmm. It was like, I needed to do whatever I had to do to go back to Europe or wherever that was for me.
Yeah.
And so I just like freelanced. I made a few more videos for the bank, started working on some other video projects for other clients, mm-hmm. and like really just started freelancing.
Yeah.
Until I like saved up enough money to go travel again. And that's like a huge thing that I don't think people understand was like, I'm not just like traveling with like, no money or something. Like there was like these months that went yeah. into like saving yeah. for that, for this, the next trip, mm-hmm. Which was huge. Like
yeah.
sold my car, like sold my plate. I remember like selling my PlayStation and you know how hard that was for yeah. me, like coming from my roots.
I know.
Like selling everything
yeah.
To go and do it. But then ultimately like got to go on that next trip.
Yeah.
Which was so defining for me. I basically went solo for 4 months.
Back to Europe, Southeast Asia.
I went to, it was only Bali for 2 months and Australia for 2 months.
Okay.
So defining. Like, I made content, the content that I created on that trip, like, propelled my career mm-hmm. and, like, let me do what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Did you set out with, like, did you go out on that trip thinking like, okay, this trip's about building a portfolio that will like leverage into the next thing? Or were you, was it kind of aimless? Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of aimless. Like I knew I wanted to make content, mm-hmm. But I didn't necessarily like have an end goal for yeah. that content. I wasn't even like trying to make a portfolio. I think yeah. I was so driven to the travel aspect of yeah. it. Like I just wanted to travel and like see things that I've never seen before.
Right.
But then like the camera was my outlet
yeah.
during that time. And I just happened to like, I think I really just had a creative boom, yeah. like where I took my content to the next level.
Yeah. So, I don't want to like stick on this point for too long, but I think so many people don't know what type of stuff they want to make. So like you're on this trip. What are you like naturally being drawn to? Like what's a deciding factor as to like when you're picking the camera up to go out and create things?
Yeah. So in that time, I was doing like travel vlogs and I didn't really know like what I wanted my content to look like. And I think even still I'm crafting like
yeah.
what is my content? And looking back at it, it was too much of a copycat content mm-hmm. that I was making, but it was so important to make that
yeah.
to recognize that it wasn't the direction I needed to go in.
Gotcha.
But like learn so much through it. Like videos are cool. Like,
yeah.
you know, they're cool to watch back and like for see sure. where I was at that time.
Yeah.
But it was necessary in order to grow.
Yeah.
Also.
How, what's like the solo thing? Like how was it being 4 months kind of on your own? Cause that's something like even I travel all the time
yeah.
and I'm like terrified to go by myself. I like need to have people planted in every city to yeah. like sponge off of, you know?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't done a solo trip since, but I cannot wait to go solo again.
Yeah.
Like it makes you make friends. Mm-hmm. It, like it forces you to put yourself in situations where you do feel uncomfortable, but like you don't want to be alone for 4 months.
Right.
So it really forces you to go outside of your comfort zone. And those 4 months, I grew so much as a person. Like, you really, like, find who you are. That's kind of yeah. cliche. That's yeah. so cliche, but so true for myself.
Do you have any, like, yeah. gnarly travel stories? Like, the first time I went out of the country to, like, shoot a travel film was with two friends. We went to Costa Rica. And, like, as soon as we landed, like, someone rolled up to our rental car and, like, slashed our tires and tried to rob us.
What?
Yeah.
That is gnarly.
Anything like super, just like bizarre.
Not while I was traveling by myself, mm-hmm. but last year I got roofied in Thailand.
Oh my God.
And I woke up like on a random step, like in my underwear.
Holy shit.
I was soaking wet, so I must have jumped in the ocean.
Yeah.
And I had a huge gash on my leg. And like, but oh I still had, God. I had all my, I had my wallet, my phone, so yeah. I didn't get robbed and I didn't get like nothing worse. Like I was fine, you know yeah, what I mean? Yeah. So I don't really know what, I still don't know what happened, but so ended up bizarre. Having to get like rabies shots and like I got really sick for a while.
Holy shit, dude.
But yeah, so that's pretty gnarly.
That's insanity.
That was pretty gnarly.
So I know I've seen, I think I've like heard the story, I've seen a video or something, like some crazy shit happened when you get back from that trip, right?
Yes.
That was like well, pretty...
From which trip?
The second trip.
The second trip, yes.
Yeah.
So the trip that I saved up, I basically saved up to go on my dream trip, and I came back, and it hit me harder than the first trip. It was like,
yeah.
Okay, like, I'm out of money. Like, what do I do? Like, I'm just trying to figure it out, because, like, for those 4 months, it's like I felt like I knew who I was and, like, what I wanted, and then mm-hmm. I come home, and it's like, okay, but, like, I'm not there anymore, so yeah. I have to figure out, like, how do I make myself happy still? Mm-hmm. And so I was doing like, I was big into urbex at the time and like exploring yeah. abandoned places. Yep. And long story short, I ended up getting arrested.
Okay.
And, which in the moment sucked. I was like, oh my God, like it's over. Like,
yeah.
What are my parents going to say? Like what? Like this sucks. Like yeah. this sucks. And because I got arrested, I was supposed to go on a trip to Toronto, but I was in a jail cell when I'm supposed to be leaving and my friends God. Don't know where I am. Yeah. I'm not picking up my phone. Like, so they go to Toronto and I'm just like in a jail cell, you know Jesus. What I mean? Like, it's like, what the heck? Like I couldn't leave the state of Rhode Island. I had to stay the night because I had to like get permission to leave the state the next day from the yeah. court. And I basically get a message from Dan. Like I DM'd him because he was looking for someone to help him. Because I wasn't in Toronto, he ended up asking me to come to New York the next day and work for him or like just to come meet him
yeah.
initially.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I ended up working for him for a long time. And it's like, it's so weird how things happen. Cause if I yeah. never got arrested, I would have been in Toronto, and I wouldn't have had the opportunity to work for him.
Yeah.
So it's like full circle, man. It's like, I'm glad that it happened how it did.
Yeah.
But in the moment it sucked, but like, it's crazy how yeah. those things work.
It's super funny to hear that. I have a similar story. I mean, I wasn't arrested. Mom, if you're listening to this, I wasn't arrested.
Hi, Mom.
No, so my first apartment that I moved into in New York was in Brooklyn. I moved in with this girl that was, like, honestly, I think, like, actually insane, which is, like, super bizarre. I moved in. She told me that, like, power and utilities and everything were included in the rent, and okay. they definitely weren't. So our power gets shut off, like, probably, like, a month after I move in.
Whoa.
It was really weird. And so no Wi-Fi, like, no nothing. She's, like... only works nights. It was all very strange. And yep. so I was like going to Vayner every weekend to like work because it was okay. the only place that I could have like power and Wi-Fi and stuff. Yeah. And Gary's assistant saw me like in the corner working on like client stuff on like the middle of the day on Saturday.
Yeah.
And she told Gary and Gary ended up emailing me, which like that's how I got Gary's email, which led to like me reaching out to Gary and ultimately like wow. getting the job with Gary. And I always kind of look back and I'm like, damn, if I hadn't lived with that crazy roommate that I thought was going to kill me in my sleep, I wouldn't have gotten my job with Gary.
See, you know what like, I mean? Like there's huge pillar things that like seem like they suck in the moment.
Yeah.
But then looking back on it, it's like we wouldn't want it to happen any other way.
Yeah.
It really just like set our path for where right. we are now.
So you've done a lot of cool, like, I know you worked with Dan and like, I want to talk about that. And I know you do a lot of stuff with Brett and like a bunch of other creators.
Yeah.
Which side of the camera do you like more? Cause I know like you like being in front and like doing like the vlogging and stuff, but you're yeah. also, you know, filming and helping a bunch of other creators like build out their own stuff.
Yeah.
So what's kind of like lights you on fire the most?
As long as I'm making videos in some capacity, like that fire is burning inside of me.
Yeah.
I guess ultimately I would like to be in front of the camera while yeah. still controlling the creative. or having input in the creative of what's being created. Mm-hmm. But I love working with my friends and like just making videos with my friends.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful that my friends are the ones who I get to work with like every day, you know, like that's so cool.
For sure.
So yeah, being behind the camera is amazing. Cause I have input, you know, like, it's still me and it's still my outlet.
Yeah.
So whether I'm in front of it or behind it, like I love it.
Yeah. I like that. I want to go like slightly, just like a little bit more, I guess, technical for a minute in terms of, cause a lot of like aspiring video creators and YouTubers are listening to this. What's your sort of like creative process like when you're setting out to make a video, like actually crafting the idea and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things I've learned, like most of my career up to this point was like, cool, let's just grab a camera and run outside and like we'll figure it out when we get out there.
Yeah.
But now I'm shifting and I'm like very, very planned and there's a lot of pre-production. So I'm curious kind of what your process is like.
Sure. So to be very real, like I haven't made a video for myself in a while. Like it's been coming up on a year, I think, because I've was on that production with Dan and then with Brett, or with Brett, with Dan, and then with Brett again. and so my process before was very much like just go out and figure it out and just see where it goes. But this year, with the experience that I got, I've like learned to write a lot. And so like, I followed you in here with a camera today. And I have like written my new film. Mm-hmm. And so writing has been a big part of my process. And you can't necessarily like plan it to the T. I remember with Dan's, like we were trying to like plan everything to a T and then things would go wrong. And then it's like so much more stressful when things go wrong versus like if you just tried to figure it out first.
Yeah, I feel you.
So, but I've learned to write. So I guess my process now is like writing is a huge part of it. It's also become like a little bit of an outlet for me, you know, and it feels good. So writing and then executing, and then I love the editing process.
Yeah.
Like I'm
you're like deep in the editing side of things.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get very technical with the editing and like, it's like, what can I do here? What can I do there? Like, how's the colors? Like I love every part of the editing.
Yeah. I really fucking hate it so much, which is funny because so much of my life is like, I'm an editor. Like, that's it. That's what I do. And, like, I can't stand it. But it's that, like, crafting the story that I think does it for me.
It's also very different editing for someone else and editing your own things. Like, do you like editing your own stuff?
I do. I do and I don't in certain ways. Like, so, like, this series 24 Hours With that I'm spending, like, a lot of time on, I enjoy editing it, but I like, there's no way for me to go into that knowing what the story is going to be.
Yeah.
So when I sit down to edit, there's like 10 hours of just like problem solving and like realizing how badly everything's went. And, you know what I mean? And so it's like, there's no structure, and it might have a structure at some point in the future where like I can shoot for the edit a little bit more.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I'm just capturing someone's like day in the life and then trying to make it as like cinematic and thoughtful and like, you know, move the needle forward. And so that's a little tough at the moment. So like, I like that process once I get through all the like creative roadblocks that come along with it. But I definitely, cause I'm the same way. I am like, I don't know if I'd consider myself like a super technical editor, but once that initial like story structure is down, I love going through and like refining and those like last, you know, three passes of the edit where it's like you just feel it like all tighten up.
Yeah.
That's definitely like an exciting moment.
Yes.
How'd you learn to edit?
When I was making Call of Duty videos and it was just like, have you ever heard of Sony Vegas?
Yeah.
Dude, I started learning, that was my first editing program, like pirating Sony Vegas.
Love it.
And then just watching YouTube tutorials on like, I feel like a huge part of my learning process is like whenever I have the question, just looking it up in that moment, and then it's easier to remember. Like it's, you don't know what you don't know, right? So it's like, how do you learn how to edit if like you don't even know what the question to look up?
Right.
So it was just like through trial and error.
What are you editing now?
Premiere Pro.
Sick. Yeah. This is an Adobe sponsored podcast, so I'm glad you said that.
Adobe.
No, we can kind of like shift. I want to talk a little more about the creating for other people aspect of it.
Yeah.
And what it means to sort of like be a videographer.
Sure.
I asked because, like, I literally, right before you walked in, I got a DM of someone asking me what it was like to be a videographer, mm-hmm. and if it was, like, fun or enjoyable or, like, what it is. And I was like, I don't even know if people understand, like, what this job actually is.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself, like, a videographer for other people, or do you have, like, a category you think you fall into?
I would say I'm a videographer.
Yeah.
Yeah, videographer and photographer.
For sure.
But yeah, being a videographer, feel like I'm so grateful because I get to be videographers for my best friends.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't even feel like work,
yeah.
you know? And that's cool. But like when you're doing like a freelance job, for example, like it does feel a little more like a job.
Yeah.
And like, I guess there's anything could feel like a job if you're not doing it the way that you really want to be doing it.
Yeah, for sure. So I know, like, a lot of people you're filming for are just, like, friends and mm-hmm. stuff, and, like, those relationships naturally build. What would you do if, like, none of those relationships were there, though? Like, if you're putting yourself in the position of someone who's, like, coming up on the scene, how do you start developing those relationships?
Yeah. Wow. That's deep. Because I feel, like, so grateful. I just feel like the pieces like fell into place.
Yeah.
But just networking, because all the people that I've met, like Brett and I knew a mutual friend, and she thought that me and Brett would be friends. So like we just met up for dinner one night and then we hit it off and like now we live together.
Right.
crazy, you know, but, it's just like networking and building your circle and then your circle will just expand and grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really have a great answer for that.
No, it's cool. I mean, I think that was sort of like the direction I figured it was going to go, and I think you took it in the right place. Of, I guess if there's any like overarching theme in that is actually like leaving the room you're in to like discover new rooms.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Dude, completely.
You know what I mean? Like,
completely.
And it's easy to fall into the trap. I even think now, like, I live in New York and there's, like, tons of creators around me. And I think I am, like, way too trapped at my desk most of the time. Like, I don't get out and, like, meet new people enough.
Yeah.
And so I know that, like, if I'm doing that and I still probably, like, on average go out way more than, like, a normal person.
Yeah.
That like forcing yourself out of that comfort zone to like meeting new people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure now like just based off those few connections, like those expand and expand and expand. And
yeah.
now like you've probably met people that you would have never imagined or never would have normally crossed 100%, paths with.
100%. You know? It's like, you know, started working with Brett and then I have like, I know now Brett's network and I started working with Dan and now I know Dan's network. And it's like that. Oh, it just always grows. Mm-hmm. It's like, what is the quote? It's like, you're worth what your network is or something like that?
Your net worth is like equal to your network
or yeah.
something along those lines.
So it's like it's always growing and it's like I'm just always trying to put myself out there.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool like as someone who like I do want to make videos for myself, but when I meet someone and to be able to like provide them with the value of helping them mm-hmm. is like huge. And like that's a great conversation starter or like a great way to like grow a relationship at first. It's like mm-hmm. I'm more than happy to help anyone with anything that they need, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that's worked for me. I think, yeah, this is a good point.
Yeah.
Like me being able to provide value for someone else in order to like get into that network, not necessarily for like not at all for like malicious reasons, but just like wanting to grow my network and become friends with them and just to provide them value of like filming.
Yeah.
And I think you know that like from Vayner and Gary's whole message of like doing free work, like that's been huge for me.
Yeah. And then also I think coming at it, I like that you like pushed the value proposition so hard because I don't think any of those, it's not like, cool, I'm going to make a video for Brett because then Brett will do something for me. Like it's all about being able to like provide that value up front
and
not really being okay if like nothing ever comes in return.
Exactly.
100%. Which is hard. you know what I mean? Like it's
hard for people to accept that.
Yeah.
For sure. But I love it. I love it. It's been like a huge part of my growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you want to take things from here? Which like, where do you want to take things from here? You're 22 years old. I mean, it's a long game.
Yeah.
And I never want to ask anyone what like your 5-year plan is, but do you have an idea of like the type of stuff you want to be working on in the future?
Yeah. So just as an example, I'm shooting my first documentary this year. Starts on Wednesday.
Can we talk about that? Like, I know what the project. Yeah. Let's hear what it is, because it's super dope.
Brett is building a school in Cambodia, and it's a probably like a year-long project. And so I'm helping, or I'm shooting the documentary for that. Brett and I are doing it together. Yeah. So it's like really cool to have that collaborative project. I've wanted to shoot a documentary. It was, I remember writing it, and I made a video, 2019 goals. Mm-hmm. And in that, I said I wanted to shoot a documentary. And then we started like pre-production in 2019 for it, which is so like, sick. I can check it. I can check it off the box so this year it's like actually happening. Mm-hmm. And so that's just like a creative thing that I want to explore. Yeah. And yeah, it's going to be sick. That project's going to be awesome.
What are you taking with, like, Cambodia seems like a gnarly place. Like, how are you sort of planning like to get gear and
sure.
Like, I'm just curious about the technical
side of things. So I have my rig. That rig right there is what I'm bringing. And I've kind of just been like playing around with like working with B&H on like what is going to be the best and like lightest setup and like what is that going to look
give
like?
Give me the details of that setup for the people listening.
A7S Mark II with a 24-105 zoom lens. We have a Rode microphone. The whole camera's in a tilt-a-cage, and it has a Ninja 5 monitor on it. And it's light enough. I mean, it's heavier than a camera and a microphone.
Right.
But just making it... it's convenient to film a documentary on.
Yeah.
That's love sick. It. I love that thing.
Do you think you'll always, what do you think the chapter beyond like YouTube small scale stuff is?
For me, I don't know yet. I am attracted to like the directing side of things.
Yeah.
And like working with the narrative, I don't know. I think eventually, like, it'll go into, like, directing. Yeah. But right now, I just see myself in the YouTube world, whether I'm in front of or behind the camera.
Yeah.
But to go back to one of the previous questions of, like, a plan, like, what's next, is, like, immediately what's next is the documentary, but really, like, creating more for myself. And I don't know what it is. It's like... I don't know what's holding me back. It's like I have all the resources, like my friends, like telling, like supporting me and like telling me all the time. It's like, dude, like, why are you not doing it? Which is great.
Yeah.
Like, I want people to tell me, like, what's going on? Like, why are you not making videos? Because there's no excuse for it, you know? Yeah. There's literally, I have no excuse. I'm in the city I've always wanted to be in. So that's what's next. It's just to do it.
Yeah.
To do it.
So... I know anyone like listening to this, like it sort of seems like you've, I don't want to say it seems like you've got it all figured out, but you've set your life up in a way where you're getting to pretty much live on your own terms and make things that you want to make, which so few people get to do.
Yeah.
Kind of to close this whole thing out. What is there like a motto you live by or some piece of advice you would pass off to someone, to that 18-year-old version of yourself who's maybe thinking about like a life change? Is to get on the track that they want to be on?
I think like that quote that I said earlier, it's riskier to not risk at all. Or like, what did I say? It's like, the biggest risk is not taking a risk at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're so young, we have like literally everything in front of us. Even if it all crashes down, like you can get up and restart without major repercussions for the most part, or any at all.
Yeah.
And so 18, any like 18-year-old out there, it's like starting up, it's just like, just try it. Like just start a vlog, see what happens. And as much as it seems like we might have it figured out, like we really don't. Yeah, like, I'm trying to figure it out like as we speak, you know? No one does. And so I think just to keep on the path, like if you have the dream to do it, to give it a shot.
Yeah. All right, last thing. Can we talk about your tattoos?
Yeah, for sure.
Give me the rundown. I see a lot.
Cool. Start with the first one. This was on my trip in Europe.
Okay.
Was this the
first tattoo you got?
Yeah.
Bro, that's huge for your first tattoo.
It's a big one.
That was a real commitment.
Yeah. And it says, when was the last time you did something for the first time?
Yeah.
So first tattoo, it's kind of ironic. Then I got yes tattooed on my thumb, and that was for my second trip. I said yes. I just like committed to that trip before I like knew how I was going to do it. I remember like 2 months before the trip, I had like $100.
Yeah.
And I was like, I bought my plane ticket already.
Yeah.
And then I had $100 and it was like, what are you doing? Like, oh my God, but I had committed to it, you know, like, and then I went on for four months mm-hmm. and like, I did it. And so that was like such a huge thing for me is like saying yes to things before you know how they're going to happen. It's like manifesting.
So were you on that trip? Were you like picking up work as you traveled?
No. I had made enough money in like the 2 months prior.
Okay.
But like 2 months out, man, it was like.
2 months out with $100.
Yeah. It was like go time. Like how?
Yeah.
So I remember like selling my car, my PlayStation, selling a bunch of my stuff and like getting a few jobs to be able to do it. I had like, it was like $4,000 for 4 months.
Got it.
Which is cool. Then believe on my arm here. It's in my handwriting.
Okay.
I just like believe in yourself before anyone else does is the meaning behind it. And it's in my handwriting, so it's like special for me. And then this one is my favorite tattoo. It's mom to me and then wow to everyone else on purpose.
Right.
My mom used to write me notes in my lunch when I was younger. And then kids started making fun of me because my mom was writing me notes. And so then she stopped writing me notes, but would just write wow on a sticky note. And it was wow to everyone else, but mom to me.
Yeah.
So then I got it in my arm.
Damn, dude. Moms are the best.
Moms are the best. I love you, mom.
Gabriel, thanks so much for coming on. Let the people know where they can connect with you.
Cool. You can find me on Instagram at gabriel.desanti. It's G-A-B-R-I-E-L, the little dot or period. Desanti, D-E-S-A-N-T-I.
Perfect. Badman. It'll all be in the show notes.
People,
all the links and the videos and everything will be in there. Thank you so much for dropping some knowledge on this. And
thanks for having me on, Badman.
This is killer.
My man.